This morning we continue our series on the Sabbath day that we began last Sabbath evening. Maybe you noticed, boys and girls, instead of reading the Ten Commandments this morning, we read the Heidelberg Catechism and we made Confession of Faith and the reading of the Apostles' Creed. That's normally what we do at night. We switched it because we hope to have a man who has been called to the office of elder and a man who's been called to the office of deacon to once again, in the cases of both these men, serve the Lord Jesus and all of us. But we need a little more time, so we hope to do that in the evening. And that's why this morning we read the Heidelberg Catechism. That's why this morning we read the Apostles' Creed and confessed our faith together instead of reading the law. And that's why we're considering the Sabbath day, the day of rest, this morning instead of in the evening. You may remember last Sunday night when we talked about the Sabbath day. We talked about how, though the Heidelberg Catechism is a beautiful document, it's weak on the Sabbath day. There isn't much there. And many other creeds and confessions from the Reformation gave a much more robust and strong teaching on the Sabbath. We went on to consider how often we get confused about what to do on Sunday, too. Like the Heidelberg Catechism says, there should be a priority on the Word of God and coming to church not only once, but twice, and coming not only to sing and to pray and to hear the Word preached, but also to make use of the sacraments. All those things are very important. The Sabbath day highlights that as we focus upon the Lord. But it also highlighted the fact that the Sabbath day is a beginning now of the eternal life promised in Christ and a look forward to in heaven. But you notice what was missing? A lot of the things you and I ask questions about. When should we have church? How many times shall we go? That's all fairly clear when it fits, and we should come as many times as the doors of the house are open. Just like on Thursday night, congregation, it was Ascension Day. And we had a blessed time of fellowship together, remembering the sovereign victory of the Lord Jesus. We would have loved to have more of you join us for that. There needs to be a priority in calling upon the name of the Lord, but especially on the Sabbath day. But what about the questions of what can I do? What can I not do? Where can I go? Where can I not go? Do I take a nap? Do I not take a nap? Can I do the same thing the neighbors do? How is it different from the rest of the week? All kinds of practical questions about the Sabbath day aren't really dealt with. And that's what we hope to continue to do in our series. Last Sunday night, we talked about the origin of the Sabbath day and how the Lord Himself rested as an example for us. And we saw the Lord Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And that if we're going to keep the Sabbath right, we have to remember who it's from. That's God. And that means we can't keep it our own way. We don't do on the Sabbath the things we want. We do on the Sabbath things God wants. We have to remember it's His day, not our day. And that will help us with all the challenges we have, with all our different responsibilities. And to be honest, sometimes it seems like all the rules that people make about the Sabbath, we miss the point of it. We miss its origin. We miss that it's God's gift for us to rest. And just like a married couple have to make time to be together and set things aside so they can focus on enjoying fellowship with one another, God gave us the Sabbath. So we can set aside all the work of the week, all our other responsibilities, so God's people can blessedly focus on Him. All that in the origin of the Sabbath. But this morning, we hope to consider together, what is the Sabbath really about? What does it mean that we have Sunday? What is the Sabbath? And we hope to consider together, as we've already seen the origin of the Sabbath, is that the meaning of the Sabbath is rest. It is rest. And this glorious meaning of the Sabbath day, this great purpose for which God has given us this day, is displayed in creation. We know that we should rest on this day not only because we're told that in Exodus chapter 20, to honor, to keep the Sabbath day, but we see it in the very structure of creation, don't we? Boys and girls, in the very structure of creation, God took 7 days to make the world. And the last day, what did He do? He rested. You know what that means for you and me? Do you remember when we were made? We were made on the sixth day, weren't we? We were made on the end of the sixth day. So what was the first day of Adam and Eve? The Sabbath day. Their first day, their first whole day, was the Sabbath day. What a blessed thing that is to think. Now, as we'll see in sermons to come in our series, the first day of the week is the day we worship on, Sunday. But even in God's design and creation, His rest sets the example for us. But further, it's undeniable in creation just in the simple fact of human experience. As sin has affected this world, and Adam even slept before sin came into the world, but living in this world, we see we need rest. That's already quite different than God, isn't it? God's rest was an example for us. As I mentioned, the Lord Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. For you and I, rest isn't an option. For you and I, rest isn't an option. What happens if you don't rest? You start to see things. You start to get sick. You start to feel funny. And after you have too many cups of coffee, too many cans of Mountain Dew, or too many cans of Red Bull, after you pump yourself full of way too many chemicals to keep going, even sometimes to plow through the exams and finish off the papers, what happens? You crash. You need a day or two, or as you get older, a week to try and recover all the abuse you did to yourself because you didn't rest. We need rest. It's undeniable. And that's a striking difference with God. He gave us the example and the origin of the Sabbath because He knew we would need it. But are you paying attention to the fact you need rest? Not just do you need more sleep. Not just do you need more ceasing from activity. But do you need rest? Physically. Firstly, are you making a priority to get rest? Rest for yourself. Things are very busy in this world. And we have all the modern conveniences of cars and telephones and computers and all different types of time-saving devices. And they are a blessing from God when used aright. But all these blessings scream for our attention all the time. It takes time. It takes energy. Turn off Twitter. Turn off Facebook. Don't check your email. Turn off your phone. Get out into the woods. Have some time. Put away all those things that supposedly make your life so much easier but actually drain so much of your energy. Physically, think about those things. Further, when it comes to rest, as odd as it might sound, are you getting exercise? Rest isn't just taking a nap. Rest isn't just ceasing from activity. Rest is doing the right kind of activity. We need physical exercise to keep our minds functioning well, to keep our bodies functioning well. If you would get rest, get some exercise. Some of us struggle with very sedentary jobs. We sit behind the computer all day. We need to get outside. God made us to require work and exercise, fresh air. But more than all those physical things, do you need rest for your soul? Do you need rest for your heart? Do you see your own guilt before God? Do you have a sense of all your own shortcomings before Him? Are you gripped at times by the magnanimous magnitude of your failure before God, before your spouse, before your children, before your friends, before yourself? Where do you go with that guilt? Where do you go with all that failure? Where will you find the strength to continue on? Let alone, what will you do with the wrath of God? Because you have to be perfect for Him. Some of you require perfection of yourselves, and you're frustrated by the fact you can't find it. Imagine what that must be for God when He knows He should be able to expect perfection from you, but can't find it. But blessedly, there is rest in His Son. There is perfection that you need to turn away the wrath of God in Christ. His perfect law keeping and His perfect hell suffering. There is rest for you in Christ. Where in the midst of your guilt, you can find relief for it because He bore your shame. And you need not fear your guilt before God, because God is taking care of that. In the midst of your failures, where you find the encouragement to get up and try again? Because God still loves you and God still accepts you. Not because of your performance or how good you were or weren't. But He loves you for Jesus' sake. And no matter how good or how bad you are, no matter how far short of His glory you may continue to fall, He is there to accept you, to love you, to cherish you and care for you for Jesus' sake. But if you need no rest, I don't need God. I don't need anyone to forgive me. I don't need to be made right with Him. I'm fine on my own. You keep on drinking spiritual Mountain Dew and spiritual Red Bull. You keep on plowing through with everything you think you're going to do to live before God. And I warn you, a crash is coming. Judgment Day will arrive. And you think there are times without rest now, just wait. There is a place where the worm never dies, the flames never let up, and you will have eternity to contemplate your foolishness in rejecting Christ and the rest that He so beautifully and bountifully offers to sinners. Rest, and the Sabbath day's rest, is displayed in creation according to God's design, and it's an undeniable part of our experience. Not only physically, but especially spiritually. And we find this confirmed in the very Word of God itself. We'll consider two particular places. And we considered both these places this past Sunday evening. And these two texts will as well chart the rest of our series. Because we considered last Sabbath evening the origin of the Sabbath. This Sunday morning, we consider together the meaning of the Sabbath. And then we hope to have a series of a few sermons coming, all on the practice of the Sabbath. These texts highlight for us very beautifully and strikingly the nature of the Sabbath. The fact that this rest is necessary and confirmed by the Word of God, that it means rest. Isaiah 58, verses 13 through 14, is one of the most helpful passages on the Sabbath. Isaiah 58, verses 13 through 14. He says, "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing thine own ways, not finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Clearly the Sabbath day is about rest. And like I mentioned earlier, when it comes to rest for the body and rest for the soul, it means more than sleeping and more than just a ceasing of activity. Exodus chapter 20, when we read together the holy law of God and we talk about what it means to keep the Sabbath day, it highlights not doing things. Why? Maybe in your family you have all these different rules about the Sabbath day. We don't go here, we don't do this, we don't act this way, we don't read these books. All different types of rules. Why? To set the day aside for what it's meant. just like if you want to spend time doing something, you have to make sure other things are out of the way first so you can focus on it completely. Here, there is a delighting. There is a finding pleasure. There is a riding upon the high places. There is a prosperity. And there is a being fed. And there is a receiving of the promise of rest. As it says, feed with the heritage of Jacob, thy father. And this is confirmed and sworn by an oath. The scriptures talk about the Sabbath as a delight, as an enjoyment, as things being done to find a rejuvenation and a strengthening and encouragement. But not only by the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 58, but our Lord Jesus himself highlights this for us. That the Sabbath is not just for not doing certain things, it is for doing other things to find rest. In Mark chapter 2, the Lord talks about the purpose of the Sabbath. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. We do not serve the day. The day serves us. Therefore, the Son of Man is also, or rather the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Beautifully, in the parallel passage in Matthew, the Lord Jesus is leading his disciples. And they are doing things that the Pharisees find objectionable. They had made their own little rules on top of the principle of the Sabbath. In fact, the Lord Jesus says they were even more scrupulous, more strong, more upset when people broke their little rules rather than keeping the Sabbath day truly. They were picking things for food. They were walking and doing things beyond what they considered fitting. The Lord Jesus tells them about himself. This is in Matthew chapter 12, verses 1 through 13. That as they got so upset about these outward things, which they mistakenly thought was of the essence of the commandment, he told them that in this place is one greater than the temple, he himself. And then he tells them, but if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. He said, if you would have understood the Sabbath day is about rest and deliverance and mercy and salvation, you wouldn't have picked on my disciples for doing things that were totally fine according to the principles of the commandment of keeping the Sabbath, though it broke your man-made rules, which you made more important than God's rules. It goes further. There was a man whose hand was withered and needed healing. And they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they asked him that so they could bring charges before him and get him condemned. They wanted to get the Lord Jesus in trouble by doing good on the Sabbath. Well, the Lord Jesus told him, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man with a withered arm, stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Scripture confirms the purpose of the Sabbath day is rest. So I put before you, are the rules you have on the Sabbath day helping you rest? People have all kinds of rules about walking, about biking, about swimming. They have all kinds of rules about books you do read, books you don't read. They have all kinds of rules about all kinds of things. And we'll see in future series, the Lord willing, there is a place for those rules on the Sabbath day. They're absolutely necessary, but they are not the point. They have never been the point. Those rules that every household needs to have needs to be aimed and focused like a laser on the purpose for which God gave this day. Rest. Fitting the origin he himself showed us, rest. That we would not only not do the stuff we do the rest of the week, but that we would not do the stuff we do the rest of the week so we can gloriously focus on Him. The setting aside of everything to bask in His presence and fellowship with Him. That's why it's a great day to come to church twice. That's why it's a great day to read, a great day to pray. Fathers, it's a marvelous time where you don't have to worry about work and you can seek to disciple your children. Mothers, you don't have to put the same type of stress on keeping the household running with clockwork perfection. You don't have to worry about the dishes the same way. You don't have to worry about the laundry the same way. You don't have to worry about taking the kids to school and to soccer and to all the different activities the same way. You can fellowship together. You can rejoice together. You can speak of the Lord together. Things you all so often don't have time for otherwise. Make sure the rules you have aim at that great and marvelous goal. And maybe you're feeling a little burned out by all the rules of the Sabbath day. Maybe you felt like you were raised in a household where Sunday was just all about what you can't do. Can't do this, can't do that, can't go there, can't do this. Maybe in the household you grew up in, the focus wasn't on, now we have special time with the Lord Jesus. Now we have special time for worship together. Now we delight in the presence of God together. Maybe that wasn't the focus. Maybe the focus was just, don't do this, don't do that. And you ask the question, why? And they say, because it's Sunday. And don't ask me that question again. Go take your nap. Maybe that's what the Sabbath day was for you. And if it was, I am sorry. You have seen a distortion of what this day was meant to be and do. So if you find your heart hardened about the Sabbath, if when you look at the bulletin and you think, oh, please, I don't want to hear about the Sabbath day because you associate it with rules and legalism and Pharisaism. My friend, take stock. Take stock of the lack of teaching or bad teaching you have had and repent from a hard heart and a bad attitude. Because with that line of thinking, you are robbing yourself of rest. You're robbing yourself of rest. Not only physical rest, but spiritual rest. And it's absolutely paramount for us that we keep this great example, that we obey this marvelous commandment, that we turn to this blessed gift Jesus has given us and make it the right priority it should be. And one way we can do that is to ever remember how closely Scripture always ties Sabbath rest with Christ, that the Sabbath rest is realized in Christ. That is one thing the Heidelberg Catechism did so beautifully in the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath day. That all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by His Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. It might fall short on focusing about the practical keeping of the Sabbath, but it beautifully highlights the key place of the Word and the ramification of it for all of life for someone who loves the Lord Jesus. We read that same focus in Hebrews chapter 4 together. In Hebrews chapter 4, the Sabbath and rest and Christ and priesthood and forgiveness all were wrapped together. This Sabbath is realized in Christ, as is fitting our need. That's what Hebrews chapter 4 verses 1 through 3 highlighted for us. He said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. When it says, as it is written, he's quoting Psalm 95. And when he talks about the works being finished from the foundation of the world, it's talking about God's work in making the heavens and the earth and resting. The people who didn't enter into the promised land, the picture of eternal rest, didn't enter in because they did not believe. The same is true for us. If we do not repent of our sins, even our breaking of the Sabbath day, if we do not trust the Lord, if we do not acknowledge His purpose and His design, if we will not trust the sacrifice of His Son, we will not find rest. We will fall short of this. That's why the Sabbath day is always a blessed reminder that we need to turn to the Lord Jesus for our hope, our help, and our strength. It's fitting to our need. And this is, again, according to Scripture in Hebrews 4. And not just Hebrews 4, but Hebrews 4 as it reaches back through the whole Old Testament and pulls forward. Psalm 95 already has been mentioned. The people coming out of the land of Egypt and into the promised land has been mentioned. And he goes further in verses 4 through 10. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Or there is more people to come into that blessed promised land. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, reflecting now on the glories of what the promised land symbolized in the words and lives of David, saying to David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus, and it may seem odd, but that's actually Joshua. It's the same name as Jesus, so the King James translator here, following the text, rendered it so. But for if Joshua had given them rest, if the promised land was all there was, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There must be more to the promised land than simply the land and Palestine. Psalm 95 confirms that it's talking about blessed rest forever with him in paradise. It says there remaineth therefore, and here is the different word I mentioned to you when we read the scriptures together this morning. Therefore, a rest or a Sabbath. There remaineth therefore a Sabbath to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, this being now the Lord Jesus, he has also ceased from his own work as God did from his. Just as God rested on the seventh day because of the work of creation, the Son of God in the flesh, the Lord of the Sabbath, rested from his work, having completed the work of redemption. A beautiful parallel. All of Scripture fits together around the theme of rest and ultimately here expressed in Sabbath for us. And this leaves us with work to do. As odd as it might sound, it leaves us with work to do. The Sabbath rest leaves us with work to do. Hebrews 4 verse 11 puts it this way. Let us labor, let us work, therefore, to enter into that rest. Lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Congregation, the work to do is a miracle by the grace of God, something He Himself works in us, and that is to believe. To believe. To trust Him. To say, yes, amen, truly, when God says the sacrifice of Jesus is enough and you don't need to add your good works to it. To believe that God says, repent of your sin and come unto me. And when by the grace of God you find yourself having your mind renewed and your eyes open and your heart softened to see your sin, you repent and you say, God, I'm sorry. What I've been doing was wrong and selfish and has dishonored thee. Deliver me from the wrath of God I deserve. That's the work that must be done. a work He works in us, a work that He makes us willing and able to do, to believe, to trust, ultimately to find rest in this life and in the life to come. Rest for our hearts, rest for our consciences, rest for our minds, rest for our bodies. The full realization of Sabbath. What the Sabbath day was a picture of, the rest the Lord Jesus would provide, just like the promised land was a glorious picture of the deliverance, of fellowship and eternal joy we'd have with God because of what Christ has done. You must turn to God. You must believe. You must not continue in unbelief as the people did in the Old Testament as they came out of the land of Egypt. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left of us entering into His rest. Don't leave behind the promise of the rest. Don't continue on unbelieving, but rather believe. Be not faithless, Scripture says, but believing. And in so doing, by the grace of God, find rest. And blessedly, we have this whole day to focus on that. The Sabbath day is about rest. It is about rest. Creation highlights for it. It's confirmed in the Word of God and bears us and focuses us completely on Christ. This is why it is so important we keep this day aright, and why we will have some sermons about how to practice the Sabbath day. Because it's about Christ. It's about our rest. And if we believe in Him, we must keep this day. Congregation, remember the origin of this day. It comes from God, and it's not for us to keep the way we want. Even as we have to prayerfully submit our traditions, our ways of thinking in the past to the scrutiny of the Word and repent if we must change. Whether we have been way too lax and lazy and undisciplined about the Sabbath and denied ourselves rest, or whether we have been strict and legalistic and pharisaical and we have denied ourselves rest. In either extreme, in either abuse, in either case, it has been because of unbelief, not because of belief. And in either case, in either extreme, we have missed Christ through the midst of it all. That is what the Sabbath is about. It is about rest. About rest in Christ. So boys and girls, when we leave the church this morning, having heard a Heidelberg Catechism sermon rather than a regular sermon, and had confession of faith rather than the reading of the Ten Commandments, what will the rest of this day be like for you? Congregation, what will the rest of this day be like for us? Will it be a day of rest in Christ? Maybe we need to begin to have those conversations afresh in our families and our households. And congregation, there's no day like today. Not only because it's best to do it soonest, but because this is what the day is for. To maybe repent together as a family, maybe even as a congregation, and ask the Lord to teach us how to keep the Sabbath, not only today, but as we trust the Spirit will transform our minds and our hearts underneath His Word, as we seek to see how to practice the Sabbath together. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the marvelous wisdom Thou hast shown us. And we thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for being such a clear testimony of that great wisdom of God in giving us rest on the Sabbath. Lord Jesus, it is in Thee and for Thee and by Thee we have our rest. And forgive us, Lord, for so often thinking wrongly, underestimating, and not placing the proper value that we ought on the Sabbath. Lord, teach us to repent by the power of Thy Spirit, and let us rejoice in this commandment to keep the Sabbath day. We ask these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen.